Chapter 16. The Long Night, the Hurried Plan, and the Royal Arrival. Wednesday, June the 5th, 1191. The city of Nottingham was ready to welcome its royal guest. Children were given bags of dried petals to throw, banners were hung from every window, and all the corpses had been removed from the puddles. The procession was a sight to behold, with minstrels and tumblers dotted between knights and nobles. The royal carriage, emblazoned with gold, rolled through the streets. The gallant Prince John leant out of the carriage window, waving happily. The sheriff and Marion waited on ceremony side by side on the castle steps. The bell had been rung, and all of the castle guards were standing in position. Sir Guy, who had been relaying his escape from Robin Hood to anyone who would listen for the last 3 nights, stood, hungover and finally mercifully quiet, on the bottom step. There was a tension between the maid, the knight and the sheriff, a tension that had been building ever since a monk had brought a box into the castle. None of them had been sleeping well. The monk had arrived in the middle of the storm 3 days ago, the same night that Sir Guy rode out to confront his outlaw. Marion had been sat by her chamber window, eagerly waiting for the sound of the drawbridge being lowered. But as she looked out into the night, she did not see the sight she had hoped for. She had been hoping for a defeated knight returning with his tail between his legs, or better yet, not returning at all. But instead, a monk on a pauper's cart, drawn by a donkey, approached the castle. Marion knew the sheriff was not a man of God. When she'd gone to pray at the castle's chapel, she'd found it converted into a storage room for dried meat. So why was a monk being let in at this late hour? Curiosity got the better of her. She put on her warmest shawl and made her way down to the courtyard. When she got to the oak front door, it was open, just a crack. The sheriff was already greeting the man. Marion saw the friar's face. It was etched with guilt and dread. She knew the sheriff could strike fear into most men, but where had the guilt come from? What had this man of God done? The sheriff, for his part, could not have been more delighted. His plan was going perfectly. He'd sent out Sir Guy and his posse to distract and ideally kill the outlaws of the wood to ensure the friar and his cargo could arrive safely. He knew that Robin and his band would be unlikely to jump this poor man of God, but he had learnt a long time ago you could never be too careful when it came to the criminal element. If Sir Guy came back triumphant, the sheriff would have one less nuisance in the wood to deal with. If the more likely eventuality occurred and the drunken knight got himself killed, he would have one less nuisance in his castle. He wasn't entirely sure which outcome he was hoping for. "No trouble with your cargo, then?" the sheriff asked quietly. "No," said Tuck flatly, as if he hadn't spent the entire journey trying and failing to get the image of the burnt, living corpse out of his head. "Good. Well, come in out of the rain. You've earned yourself a flagon of ale, a soft bed and a fire." The sheriff helped the friar down from the cart and escorted him towards the door. Marion was struck by an overwhelming urge to hide. She wasn't sure why, but she made a habit of following her instincts. She ducked into a small alcove in the nick of time. "Go and sit in the parlour through there. The fire is blazing," the sheriff continued as they entered the castle.
"What is it?" whispered Tuck.
The sheriff stopped. "I beg your pardon."
"Do you know what's in box?"
Tuck asked, his voice trembling. "My holy friend, have you ever heard the fable of the fat friar who asked too many questions?" Tuck said nothing. "He died a horrible death," the sheriff said smoothly. "Now please, go and make yourself comfortable." Marion stayed frozen in her alcove, her heart racing. What was in the box? She'd noticed it on the back of the holy man's cart and wondered if she could dart out and have a proper look without being noticed. Surely she could make up some excuse if she was caught. She crept from her alcove and hurried towards the door. The cart with its large wooden box was still there. She darted towards it.
"You're out late, my lady," came the cool voice of the sheriff. "It is a shame your father couldn't furnish you with a lady-in-waiting. Who knows what trouble you might find yourself in?"
Marion spun round to face him with her most winning smile.
"Oh, Sheriff, you startled me. I'm afraid I was awoken by the storm," Marion said quickly.
"A little too quickly."
"Ah, then we are kindred spirits. I too was awoken, and of course now my mind is racing with 101 things that need to be seen to."
The sheriff looked past her to the cart in the courtyard.
"Well, I will just tick one more off the list and then leave the rest for morning, if you will excuse me."
He stepped towards her.
"I should go to bed if I were you, my lady."
It was more an order than a request.
"Oh, and Marion, how long have you been down here?"
Marion felt colour rush to her cheeks.
"Not long, Sheriff. A bed is well advised. It is unseasonably cold and wet tonight."
Marion gave the sheriff a little curtsy and went back inside. She'd just made it to the foot of the staircase that led back to bed when she heard the stopper of a flagon pop. She turned to see the door to the parlour slightly ajar and the large silhouette of the monk drinking straight from the bottle by a roaring fire. Hesitating for only a second, she pushed the door and made her way tentatively into the room. His head snapped round. His taut face softened a little when he saw she was not the sheriff.
"Good evening, Friar," Marion said politely.
"Good evening, my dear."
She noted his unsteady voice.
My name is Tuck."
"I'm Lady Marion."
She walked over to join him.
"Awful storm tonight. You must be soaked."
The friar looked down at his sodden clothes as if noticing them for the first time.
"Aye,"
he said, but his gaze quickly fell back to the fire.
"What brings you to the castle in such weather and at such a late hour?"
The friar continued to look into the flames. He hesitated, and for a moment she thought he wasn't going to answer.
"Delivery," he said eventually.
"Something special for the royal visit?" Marion suggested.
"Something like that."
"You know, I'm actually so glad you're here, Friar. I've been feeling a little guilty about something. Do you feel up to hearing a lady's sin?"
She gave the nervous man a small smile, which she was happy to see returned.
"Oh, that should be in me wheelhouse."
"And you promised to keep it in the strictest of confidence?" Marion asked with affected coyness.
The friar smiled wider, and his body relaxed slightly.
"You have my word, my lady. I hit a man with a wine bottle."
She told him the whole tale, of the disastrous journey from Leicester to Nottingham, of Sir Guy getting both drunker and more lecherous, and the dramatic arrival of Robin Hood. By the time she got to the bottling of the night, the friar was actually laughing.
"Well, my child, I think your Christian patience should be praised for you not having hit him earlier."
"Thank you, Friar. That makes me feel much better. The outlaws also found it very amusing. I think maybe that's why they decided not to rob me."
"Lucky thing, that. Going through a forest is treacherous these days."
The friar offered Marion the flagon.
"It is indeed."
She took it, and, as he had, drank straight from the vessel.
"Did you have any trouble with your delivery?"
"No," said Tuck, returning his gaze to the fire. "No trouble from outlaws."
Again, unable to suppress her insatiable curiosity, and not knowing how much longer the two of them would have alone, she chanced it.
"What was on the back of your cart, Father?" she said, handing him back the ale.
The father's eyes brimmed with tears.
"Was it a woman?" Marion asked. She could feel her heart pounding in her ears.
The monk took a long swig from the flagon as if for courage. He nodded solemnly. At that precise moment, the door opened behind them.
"So, Friar, let's get you to bed, and I've decided you're to be our guest for the royal visit. The prince will pay you himself," said the sheriff.
"Oh,
hello. I thought you'd retired, my lady. I hope I'm not interrupting anything."
"No, no. We were just praying for the safe arrival of the prince," Marion lied convincingly.
Long live Prince John, cried Tuck.
Long live Prince John, the sheriff echoed. Now, my friends, all of us to bed. Friar, you are down the hall, third on the left. Each of them left the parlour, though only the monk headed directly to his bedchamber. Marian was wide awake. A woman had been brought to the castle in the dead of night, in a box. This had to be the woman Robin was looking for. Of course this was how the sheriff would have brought her into the castle. A noble guard or an official carriage would have been an obvious target for the outlaws. But an unassuming friar driving a donkey cart? No matter how much she disliked the sheriff, there was certainly no denying his cunning. She made her way quickly through the castle, arriving at the small garden where the white roses grew. The sheriff had forgotten his promise. She would have to fetch her own bouquet. She had planted this rose herself when she was a girl, and it, like her, had now grown tall. Its thick branches were hard to tear, and she cut her hand on a thorn as she removed some of the flowers. But she managed to keep her cursing to a minimum. The sheriff rubbed his weary eyes as he walked down the flight of stone steps into the bowels of the castle. He hoped that his men had set the scene as per his instructions after bringing the box inside. It was dark down here, but he needed no torch. He knew this place like the back of his hand. He was tired, but he had one more lady to wish good night before his head could hit the pillow. As he walked, he considered how strange the world had become in recent days. He had always been a man of logic, not superstition. But when the prince had shown him what was in the tent, what was now in his basement, he had been forced to reconsider his position, and the woman frightened him. In truth, all women frightened him. The glow of a torch became visible up ahead. He turned the corner to find his master at arms on guard. The sheriff had decided not to let him go after all. Reginald was not the brightest of men, but he was loyal and reliable, so long as the task at hand didn't call for speed.
Who goes there?
Reginald barked. It's Robin Hood, the sheriff replied.
Oh, Sorry, sir. Just a little jumpy. The prisoner was making some mighty peculiar sounds.
Reginald glanced back at the door behind him. You resisted going in? The sheriff inquired.
Oh, yes, sir. No one has gone in or out, as ordered. I've been here the whole time. I got one of the lads to fetch water for you.
Reginald held up a large wooden bucket. Very good, Reg. You're relieved for the night. Send me two men in an hour, then have them swapped out every 6 hours. I need constant vigilance. We are keeping the prisoner safe for Prince John. The old master of arms stood up as straight as his tired bones would allow.
Very good, sir. Thank you, sir.
When the last of his footsteps had faded into the darkness, the sheriff reached into his pocket and took out a long iron key. It scraped slightly in the stiff lock of the door. He would have to get that oiled. Before him lay the box. He'd had two men lift it in unopened. They'd been smart enough not to inquire about its contents, even as the groans grew louder. He had set up the cell that very evening whilst waiting for the friar to arrive. His tools were all laid out on a small wooden bench in the corner. The sheriff's hands caressed each one before reaching for the hammer. He walked over to the back wall and gave each of the iron rings a sharp tug. Then, gingerly, he jimmied open the lid of the box. The smell of burnt flesh filled his nostrils. I'll kill you, came the strained voice from the box. Look, stop all that now, said the sheriff, trying to hide his nerves as he pulled on his deerhide gloves. Just let me get you secure, and then we can have a proper chat. He looked down at the ruined body within and noticed a few small marks of newly formed pink flesh. So the friar had peaked.
He tentatively grabbed the living corpse by what remained of her shoulders and hoisted her out of the box. The woman screamed in pain. He fastened the silver chains to the iron rings, giving each chain enough slack to allow her to fall in a crumpled heap on the floor. "Please, water." The sheriff honored her request. He slung the water from the bucket over her. The effect was nothing short of miraculous. Where a second earlier there'd been a tangled mess of charred skin and bones, there was now a pink, healthy, albeit shaken, woman. "What are you?" he managed to ask her, his breath taken from him. "Your murderer." An hour later, there was a knock at the cell door. The sheriff opened it a crack, his face slick with sweat. Two castle guards stood there, Norman and Simon. The sheriff had made a habit of learning the names of everyone in his employ. "Everything all right, sir?" Simon asked, peering at his superior's uncharacteristically dishevelled appearance. "Yes, Simon. Just a particularly hard nut to crack. But we'll get there. We always do, in the end." The sheriff slipped out of the cell, locking it quickly behind him before either of the men could get a good look at the prisoner. "So, you're here for 6. Do not go in for any reason. This one is a nasty piece of work. Is that understood?" The guards nodded. "Good lads. Well, I'm going to try and get some sleep." Dawn was now fast approaching, and the sheriff could feel himself getting irritable, more than usual. "Good night, sir," called Simon as the sheriff made his way back up the stairs. He had only got halfway to his bedchamber when the horn sounded, and he'd only just made it to the courtyard in time to see Sir Guy, with only one of the men he had lent him, entering the front gate. They were soaked from head to foot. "A mixed endeavour," the sheriff shouted over the newly invigorated storm.
"We were outnumbered 10-1. He chased us to the city gates. Ours killed 2 each before bravely laying down their lives in service to the crown," spluttered Sir Guy.
"I see." The sheriff wiped the rain from his face. "And you? You made it back in one piece, I see."
Yes. I thought you'd want a report."
"Report away," smiled the sheriff through gritted teeth. Sir Guy flung himself off his horse.
Lots dead. I believe I killed the one they call Will Scarlet, or Wily Will, I think some of our men call him.
The one described by eyewitnesses as a young boy with a maimed hand. He must have put up one hell of a fight," the sheriff said sarcastically. "I am fatigued, Sir Guy. I'll hear the rest in the morning. Just know that if Robin's band cause the prince any trouble, I will have you hanged from the parapets. Good night." And with that, the sheriff left, leaving Sir Guy struggling to form a coherent sentence in response. There was, in the end, no need to kill the knight. In the days after his raid, there was little trouble reported on the roads through Sherwood, and no sign whatsoever of the infamous Robin Hood. Sir Guy's story of the raid had become more and more gallant. The sheriff seemed oblivious to the nighttime activities of Lady Marian. She had been spending her nights exploring the heights and depths of the castle, searching for the prisoner she now knew was being kept inside its walls, though she had yet to lay her eyes on her. The castle had a fair number of locked doors and barred halls. Her nocturnal sleuthing had left her tired, and she too was feeling irritable. The past 3 days of tension that had been clawing at her insides like a willful cat, and the duty of now having to present herself as a perfect lady for the royal arrival, did not fill her with excitement. But as the golden carriage slowly made its way into the courtyard, she forced herself to adopt a rosy demeanour.
Prince John stepped from his carriage, looking every inch a man playing king. His crown was balanced carefully on his head, his long purple cloak was lined with white ermine, and he was wearing more jewellery than Marian had ever seen on any one person, man or woman.
"Your Majesty!"
Sir Guy shouted, loudly enough to spook one of the carriage horses. He fell to one knee. "Your Majesty," Marian gave the proper curtsy, though she kept eye contact with the prince, her own small act of rebellion. She had to enjoy the little victories. They were usually the only ones she was allowed. "Your Majesty," said the sheriff, finally taking a slight bow.
"My friends, what a lovely welcome that was. Gorgeous petals. Though I hope you've not been going to too much trouble on my account. You all look rather tired."
Prince John walked up the stairs towards the maid and the sheriff.
"Oh, not at all. Maid Marian and I have just been so excited in the anticipation of your arrival, it has been difficult to nod off. I've even found myself pacing the castle at all hours, just checking everything is in its rightful place."
The sheriff turned to Marian. "Have you been the same, Marian?"
Did he know, she worried? Surely not. She had been so careful.
"Well, I'm here now," beamed the prince, "and I insist we make merry tonight in order to ensure a good night's sleep for everyone."
The evening meal truly was an extravagant affair. Every landowner within 50 miles of the castle was in attendance. The long tables in the dining hall were heaving with pies, hog roasts, some continental grapes on the vine, and a selection of local game. Marian, the sheriff, Sir Guy, and the prince were all at the top table. The conversation had turned to Robin Hood.
"Do we have any idea who he is?"
the prince asked, nibbling delicately at a grouse bone.
"The reports have been mixed. Some say he's just a peasant with a good bow arm. Others report him to be very well spoken, a jaded knight come home early from the crusade."
The sheriff downed a tankard of water. He'd been strangely thirsty the last 3 nights, but he put that to the back of his mind. This was no time to get ill.
"There couldn't be a knight,"
snorted Sir Guy, reaching for the wine flagon.
"I've encountered this man twice, and he has none of the chivalry or respect paramount in our vows."
"Is he as good a shot as they say?" Marian asked.
He has some skill," the knight grudgingly admitted.
"I'm sure he's not a patch on some of the fine men in this great hall," Prince John said cheerfully.
Nobody disagreed. The knights and men-at-arms here were indeed some of the best in the country. There was always some joust or melee to show off in at these royal events, and dozens had already arrived for the opportunity.
"I'm sure there are men in here who could outshoot any thuggish outlaw," said Marian, a plan forming in her mind.
"I think the common people would find it comforting to know that law-abiding men with far more skill than this ruffian walk among them." She took a sip of wine.
"I can't help but wish there was some way to prove it to them."
She'd set the trap, but would he take the bait?
"Oh, but there is," the prince exclaimed. "Sheriff, add an archery contest to the week's revelries."
"I'm not sure that's wise," the sheriff started, but Prince John was already on his feet, tapping his goblet with his spoon. The hall fell silent.
"My friends, please may I have your attention. Now, I have heard of your troubles with outlaws in the forest. This so-called Robin Hood and his band of merry men. They lurk in the shadows, jumping out at the noble men and women of Nottingham without warning. They say that this Robin is a good shot. Well, I say it's time to show these ruffians what a true marksman looks like. I hereby announce an archery contest. Longbows only, open to all nobles, knights, and commoners. First prize will be a seat at my table for that evening's feast, and a kiss from the wonderfully enchanting maid Marian. String your bows and be ready. Long live the king!
The crowd cheered, flagons chinked, and the preemptive bragging began. Prince John turned to Marian.
I hope you don't mind your part in the wager, my dear. Something to get the blood going?
Not at all. Marian winked at him flirtatiously. Everything was falling into place. And if her expectations proved true, she wouldn't mind kissing the victor at all.
You've been listening to Evergreen, Chapter 16, written by Sam Russell and read by Catherine Russell. If you enjoyed this chapter, wherever you're listening, please subscribe, give us a rating and a review so we can get this story into more people's ears. And if you really enjoyed it and want to support this project, you can do so on our Ko-fi page. All details are available on our Twitter account, @evergreenbook1. The next chapter comes out on January the 10th. Thanks for listening and supporting us through 2021.
It's been a weird and rough year for all of us, but
we can't wait to see what 2022 has in store.